We'll read together now from the scripture that will be preached on today. It will be on the inner panel. Just follow along with me. From Exodus 3 and 4. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve the God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Then Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, "Put out your hand and catch it by the tail." So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray again. Lord, we're thankful for being gathered here this morning. I'm already almost overcome by everything that we've talked about this morning in how you are working in the life of this church, and that you are sending us out into our local area to bear witness to Jesus and to show people your great love. Lord, we pray this morning that you would speak to our hearts and our minds, and that you would have your way with us this morning, Lord. Whatever it is that you want us to hear, may it be. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So about 10 years ago, Ray and Michelle Garcia were wrestling with a deep leading from God to specifically reach out to their neighbors in Northwest Philadelphia. They didn't know exactly what it was that they were going to do. They just knew that God was urging them to start something. So they decided to get a table at some community event that was happening, and they put out a little sign that said simply, "How can we help?" Two of the people that stopped by the table and answered the question needed help with their homes. They had repairs they couldn't pay for and repairs that they couldn't do on their own. Now, at the time, Ray was a pastor. He had been a youth pastor for several years, and he had completed his MDiv at Palmer Theological Seminary. But it turns out that Ray had also been a contractor. He had ran his own construction business for 6 years, and that's how he had paid his way through seminary. So out of all of the needs that you could possibly imagine, you know, the response to "how can I help" being, right, out of all those possibilities, the ones that they heard that day were all construction related. This put Ray and Michelle on a trajectory that resulted in the Philadelphia Project. Today, the Philadelphia Project operates in Roxborough, Germantown, and Mount Airy, with a mission of partnering with the local church to create transformative service opportunities while assisting and supporting our most vulnerable neighbors. Just this past year, in the past 12 months, we had 1,200 participants, including our very own Sarah Ventriglia. And these folks provided over 25,000 hours of community service. Until August of this year, the TPP, it's not the Trans-Pacific Partnership, I'm just going to address that, and I'm not going to continue saying the Philadelphia Project, TPP. TPP, until August of this year, operated a preschool, an after-school, and a summer camp program that served over 100 kids each year. As a part of TPP's vision to partner with the local church, from the very beginning of those programs, the goal was that we would turn those over to a local congregation. And so this, we successfully did that in August, which was a great thing that we are continuing to celebrate. They're now owned and operated by Roxborough Church in Roxborough. As most of you know, and as Jason described, I have had the privilege of serving as TPP's business manager for the past 2 years. And I do agree with what Jason described. The title business manager is fairly meaningless. I am so honored to be here as the speaker for Mission Sunday. Thank you for your words, Jason. I am grateful that City Line does take mission seriously, and we talk about it every Sunday. And I'm grateful that 2 times a year we take special attention to look at the topic of God's mission. At TPP this year, we have a theme each year, and this year our theme is I Am. It is, of course, a reference to the story of Moses, which we just heard. So I'm going to look at this scene in Moses' life to frame our special consideration of God's mission this morning. And I have developed 3 phases to this talk this morning. That's right, I don't do 3-point sermons. I do 3-phase sermons. They're very different. So the 3 phases. The first one is the great I am. The second is you are sent. And finally, what is in your hand? So the great I am. Here in Exodus 3, we have this incredible scene in Moses' life, and honestly, in scriptures. God appears to Moses in a burning bush, and he sends Moses on a spectacular journey. And you know, given the extraordinary circumstances under which he receives this call, Moses is kind of chill about it. His main question is, okay, but who are you? Who should I tell them sent me? And to which the burning bush gives a fairly confusing reply, right? I am that I am is who I am. I am that I am, I am said to him. Tell them I am sent you. What a fantastic and incredible revelation of who God is. God is the great I am. I am is beyond all time and space. He is bigger than you can fathom. So powerful that the word powerful is meaningless to describe what I am can do. I am said words and the cosmos exploded into existence. Billions and billions of stars, which by the way, that in itself is unfathomable to us. And they were uncountable to us before we had computers. These billions of stars only begin to reveal the glory of I am. Not even adding up all of the brightness of all the stars could you get to the brilliance of I am. This is because I am is a superlative of all superlatives. And I am crafted this intricately complicated world where there are not millions of possible genetic codes for human beings. There aren't even billions of possible genetic combinations. There are over 70 trillion possible genetic combinations for you and I. Does that number even mean anything? If you were to live for 70 years, you would have to spend $2.5 million every day in order to spend $70 trillion. I am's mastery and dominance of all existence extends as big as the heavens and cosmos and as small as the microscopic building blocks of every living thing. I am is so intimate with us that he knows each of us by name. I am has crafted you and me in his image. I am has built this world for our flourishing. I am has designed us as communal people, made for each other and for I am. I am's love is so deep that he availed himself of his creation. He intervened into our hopeless situation to save us. He did this early on through people like Moses. Later, he came himself in Jesus. I am descended into our time and space to defend us. I am took on our pain and suffering, our sin and wrongdoing to redeem us. This is the great I am. I am is awe beyond awe, love beyond love, hope beyond hope. Do you share the sense of awe and wonder? This is why I am is named I am. You cannot define I am. You cannot confine I am. I am as I am. I am will be what I am will be. As I am speaks to Moses, there's very much this sense of sit down, shut up, and listen. Take off your shoes, Moses. You're on holy ground, Moses. You don't know what you don't know. You don't know what I am is about to do. I am is about to send Moses on an impossible rescue mission to save the Hebrew people, including simply the horror of just being slaves. The Hebrew people were especially suffering under their Egyptian masters. Earlier in the story, if we go back to Exodus 1, it says that the Egyptians made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar and all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians used them ruthlessly. It got so bad that the slavery actually turned into genocide, and Pharaoh ordered that the Hebrew babies, the sons, were thrown into the Nile River. This is actually the genocide that Moses was saved from, right? He was put in a basket in the river. He was found by one of Pharaoh's daughters. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's household. But one day, you remember the story, Moses kills an Egyptian. Pharaoh finds out about it. He tries to kill Moses. Moses flees. Moses ends up in Midian. This is where we pick up his story. The Hebrews have been crying out for years, for decades, for God to save them. And God responds by sending Moses. This is what I am is about to do. He's going to send a wanted murderer to confront one of the world's most powerful dictators, whose regime had previously committed infant genocide against Moses' people. And I am is going to send him to do it with a stick. This is how I am operates. You can't define I am. You can't confine I am. From Abraham and Moses to Deborah and Ruth, from Mary and Joseph, Peter and Paul, I am chooses to send ordinary people to carry out his extraordinary mission. And this includes you and me. We are a part of this insane tradition of putting I am's greatest plans into our frail human hands. But should we be surprised? This is how I am operates. Not only do we see this abundantly clear as we read the scriptures, history, it's made explicitly clear in the New Testament. Many of us are familiar with what we call the Great Commission, but there are actually a whole bunch of commissions riddled throughout the New Testament. In the familiar Matthew 28 Great Commission, Jesus says to his disciples, "Therefore, as you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age." We're all very familiar with this. In Mark 16, Jesus says to his disciples, "As you go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." In Luke 24, Jesus says to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Again, a commission in John 20. Jesus says to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even I am sending you." And in Acts 1, Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." There are few things that are as clear as this in Scripture. You are sent to bring I Am's good news to people around you. I Am wants you. I Am commands you to be a part of His mission. I Am invites you into the continuing work of His kingdom. Are you listening? Will you go? I Am has sent you. So what do we do with all this? I hope I've really convinced you that you are sent. As people who love and worship the great I Am, we know that He sends us out to be good news and to bring good news to people around us. But how are we supposed to do this? If we take a look at Exodus 4, verse 1, this is basically Moses' first question in some ways. What if they don't believe me? How will they know that you sent me? How will they listen to me? What am I supposed to do? I Am asks, what's in your hand? It's a stick. Remember the situation here. Moses, he's kind of a failure. He's a wanted murderer that ran away to a backwater corner of the Arabian Peninsula. He's utilizing his years of experience and skill to watch his father-in-law's sheep, something that's usually done by little children. He's an old man. He's beyond retirement age. He spent the majority of his life not living up to his expectations. And yet, he is uniquely equipped for this special mission that I Am is sending him on. Moses grew up in the court of Pharaoh. He was educated in the world's most elite schools. He held positions of power and prestige. He could speak the language. He knew the culture. He was able to get an audience with Pharaoh. Do you see what I Am has done here? After all these years filled with success and failure, hope and fear, Moses finds himself equipped with just what he needs to do what I Am wants him to do. Imagine all those years he's been carrying around this stick. He probably has carved the names of his loved ones in it. His rough hands have worn it smooth. And I Am uses it to display his glory. A tool for moving sheep was going to be used to move one of the most powerful men on the planet. So the answer to our question, what do we do with all of this, actually becomes another question. What is in your hand? A few years ago, there was a teenager who came on a mission trip with the Philadelphia Project who used what was in his hands for the glory of God. The young man spent his week at TPP that year on a work site in Germantown, a home repair work site. This homeowner whose house we are in had challenges beyond just his roof that had fallen, the porch and roof porch that had fallen off of his house about 12 years earlier. The homeowner struggled socially very much. I don't know which came first, but he was so socially disconnected that he had become nearly nonverbal. He would communicate through strange grunts and sounds and kind of nodding his head. A very challenging person to work with. Unlike most of the homeowners that we work with, he did not engage with teams at all. When they came to work on his homes, he would retreat into another room of the house and wait until people left. Early in the week, that week that the teenager was there working, he hurt his foot, and he couldn't help anymore with the repair project. Unable to help, the next day he brought his guitar to the work site. He sat outside the house and he just played and strummed while the group worked inside the house. Before long, the teen heard someone else joining in the song. It was the homeowner in an upstairs room. It turned out that this homeowner was also a musician. Had not been a musician for quite some time, but was a musician in his past. It also turns out that this started a radical transformation in this homeowner's life. God used this moment to spark a tremendous breakthrough. Over time, the homeowner himself started to regularly play music when groups were there. And he started to engage with groups when they came into his home. He started to speak with them and share his story and his life with them. Today, this man is re-engaged with his community. He talks to people. He is actually one of TPP's most vocal advocates, sharing with others about the home repair program that we have. Isn't that just amazing? God used what was in this young man's hands, and he used it mightily. Like Moses, I'm sure he had no idea that God was going to use it in this way. All those years of practice and effort on the guitar, he ended up using them on a construction site. But this is the thing about how I am operates. You can't define I am. You can't confine I am. I am will use what you already have for his purposes. So what about you? What is in your hand? What experiences, skills, gifts, circumstances, dreams, even failures has God placed in your life? I imagine that for some of us, we are at a point in our life where our work, our vocation, and the mission of God are all aligned. Praise God. The work that you do and the life you lead is a response to I am sending you out to bear witness to his kingdom. So hear the charge this morning. Help create pathways for others to join you in the work that you are doing. Could you step up to lead others in an opportunity? Maybe it's to join you in your work. Maybe it's to go and join the work that other people are doing. Maybe you could help us to go on a trip to visit an international partner. Maybe you could come to the Philadelphia Project. What is in your hand? For some of us this morning, I imagine that we haven't considered the idea that God has sent us. Maybe it's a new idea that the Christian life is a life to be lived on mission. So hear the charge this morning. Be sent. Know that God is sending you. Know that we're sent together. Take this home with you and put it before God. Ask him how to help you to respond to his call to be involved in God's mission outside of these four walls. And then go somewhere and try it. Come out to the Philadelphia Project. On MLK Day, we are hosting a family service day for families. Maybe that'd be a great opportunity to come out and get your feet wet in God's mission. What's in your hand? I imagine that for some of us, we feel fractured this morning. We don't understand how our current life connects with God's mission. Maybe we feel a little bit like Moses. How we had hoped we would be living and where we thought we'd be is a far cry from our reality. Hear the charge this morning. You are enough and you are equipped. There is something about you that is exactly what God is looking for. And the question before you is the same. What's in your hand? What is before you? What opportunities to engage in mission could you respond to? Maybe it's something formal here at CityLine, SAT prep, volunteering at Hunting Park Christian Academy, being a part of the next rendition of the health screening. Maybe it's something less formal. What about on your own street? Are there needs on your block that you could be a part of meeting? Are there people you could reach out to and develop a friendship with? Maybe you just need to ask, how can I help? Wherever you're at this morning, friends, know that I am has sent you. He is at once delighted in you and also relying on you to look down and take up what's in your hand and put it to his mission. What's in your hand? Let's pray together.